Tonight on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
A great good morning to you. We're overlooking Oahu's South Shore. It's time for the Golf Club. Saturday, March 3rd, in the clubhouse, Damon Hack, Brian Hewitt, Bob Friend, Tom Freestone, Louien Mayer, all the way from Edinburgh, Scotland. Yes, indeed. Scotland. The Global Golf Post European correspondent. But we're starting off with the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
And we have a special sponsor for the next 2 weeks, Dr. Melanie Tantazera, True Vision Center and Medical Beauty Treatments. She'll be at the Health and Wellness Expo with me at the Honolulu Club. It's on March 13th from 6 until 9 o'clock in the evening, and you can register for a prize that is worth $1,000. That's March 13th, 6 to 9 o'clock at the Honolulu Club Health and Wellness Expo, Dr. Melanie Tantazera, True Vision Center. All right, joining us first of all this morning from the Honda Classic, it's Damon Hack, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He covers golf and the NFL. Before joining Sports Illustrated, he was also over at the New York Times, if I'm not mistaken. He also covered the New York Knicks for Newsday. He covered the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of people in Hawaii were 49ers and still are 49er fans. That was for the Sacramento Bee. He graduated from UCLA, bachelor's in history, so you know he's got his history down, and UC Berkeley with a master's in journalism. Welcome to the Golf Club, Damon Hack.
Danielle, that is some welcome and introduction. Aloha, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, you're at the Honda Classic. And what I love about Friday leaderboards, the names on Friday, you know, ultimately changed by Sunday, of course. But some of the people, you know, who is Brian Harman? Tom Gillis, Dickie Pride. I'm like, all right, I got to do my research. It was really interesting. And Rory Wilde, Rory McIlroy, he's at the top of the leaderboard. We know him. But let's start off. We're going to start off with a cut from Tiger Woods that I just thought was very, very interesting. You know, he had to make the cut yesterday, right? I mean, he was pretty close to not, wasn't he?
He was. He had a double bogey on the fifth hole yesterday, Danielle, and it looked like he was going to be kind of struggling to come on home, and he ended up birding 8 and 9 to finish well within the cut line. But it's been kind of the story of his season, up and down, choppy, never putting 72 holes together. So all of us are kind of wondering, you know, when is he going to kind of put everything together? When will the flat stick that used to make everything from a Thursday all the way through a Sunday? So he's kind of been choppy. He's, I guess, 1 under on his round today, 2 under for the tournament through 4 holes early, but still not really kind of able to kick it into that fifth gear that we were accustomed to seeing Tiger Woods do a low of those many years ago.
Okay, well, this is what he had to say after yesterday's round. Maybe he's figured something out.
Well, I scored well, but I didn't swing the club, you know, worth a darn all day. You know, it was one very good. So figured something out at the very end. Last 4 holes after that tee shot I hit on 6. Unfortunately, it took me that long to figure it out. But once I figured it out, I really had some good shots coming in.
All right. So after that double bogey on 5, he figured something. I mean, I just love how specific the guy is, you know? I figured something. What do you think he figured out?
You know what? You know what's so funny about covering Tiger? And I've been covering Tiger since gosh, 2001. He birdied his last two holes. Had he birdied his last hole, he would have. He said what he said after the round yesterday was, "I told Joey LaCava coming in, let's birdie the last two holes," which is exactly what he did. But if he'd only birdied one, he probably would have said, "Told us, I told Joey, let's just birdie the last hole." Tiger is one of those guys that can kind of rationalize the missed putts. You know, maybe it was a spike mark, or he just was reading the putts wrong, but was stroking it beautifully. That's what makes him great and what has made him great. He rarely finds fault in his own game. He tries to find kind of external things to point to, whether it was the greens or maybe just a misread. But I tell you what, whatever the scorecard doesn't lie. That's what's so great about golf. And Tiger Woods has a raft of competitors now, whether it's Nick Watney at the Accenture Match Play or Rory McIlroy here. Tiger has his hands full. And until he can figure out a way to put it together for 72 holes, it's just going to be kind of sound bites that make us all chuckle.
Okay, Sean Foley, his swing coach, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what... You said it's always somebody else. Sean Foley, doesn't he get up yesterday and say something? This is what I heard on Golf Channel this morning on Morning Drive. Sean Foley is taking responsibility for Tiger's putter not working. Hello?
Yeah, I mean, who knew Sean Foley was hired to be Tiger's putting coach? I mean, Tiger Woods always was kind of his own putting coach, or his father was his putting coach. But now it was kind of interesting on Thursday after Tiger took 34 putts to see Sean Foley actually working with Tiger on the big putting green behind 18 here at the Honda Classic, actually giving Tiger Woods instruction with the putter. It was mind-boggling for a lot of us that have watched Tiger usually try to figure the greens out by himself. But I tell you what, to me, it's just another indication that Tiger is really, really searching. You know, he can tell us that he's close, and he may be close, but the bottom line is he hasn't been able to put it together for four straight rounds. And another thing, you bring up Sean Foley. How about Sean Foley's other clients, Hunter Mahan, who just won the match play, and here we have Justin Rose on the top of the leaderboard with Tom Gillis here. Another Sean Foley client is Justin Rose. It would be something else if two of Foley's other clients, and Mahan and Rose, got to the winner's circle before Tiger Woods did this year.
Yeah, no, Justin Rose, I'm glad you bring him up, because wasn't it back in, 98, when he was this hot amateur in England, and didn't he come in fourth at the British Open?
That is right, 1998. That's still his best finish in a major championship, was at T4 at Royal Birkdale, where he holed out on the 72nd hole for eagle, and the crowd went crazy, and Justin turned pro and proceeded to miss like 18 cuts out of 19 in his first start. So he's come a long way from then. Obviously, he's a three-time winner now on the PGA Tour. He talked about not contending in the majors the last few years. He had a year not too long ago where he finished no worse than T12 in all four major championships, but he's never finished better than that tie for fourth at Royal Birkdale in 1998.
All right, so he's T1 with Tom Gillis going into today's round. They haven't teed off yet, I don't think, right?
They haven't teed off yet.
Tom Gillis turned pro in 1990.
Yes, that's right.
He made a cut this year. I think it was AT&T Pebble Beach. He finished T40. Who is Tom Gillis?
Tom Gillis is a self-described journeyman, lives 9 months actually here in Jupiter, Florida, not far from Palm Beach Gardens, where we are today, has played this course, he estimated, maybe 15 times, spends 3 months out of the year in Michigan, 9 months here in Florida, has never won on the PGA Tour, has contended a couple of times in the last few years, says his biggest problem is between the ears, is trusting and believing that he can win. Talked about Harrison Frazier being a motivating force for him. Harrison, of course, was another longtime journeyman who'd never tasted victory until last year in Memphis, and Tom Gillis is trying to take a page from Harrison Frazier as an older golfer, you know, not really a lot expected out of, trying to find his way to victory really, really late in his career.
And it's interesting because we have another pro who turned pro in 1992, 2 years after Gillis, Dickie Pride. If I've got my numbers right, he has won once on the PGA Tour. He's started 374 events, made 157 cuts. He got into the Honda, and that's what I always want. You know, how did Tom Gillis get into the Honda?
Monday qualified.
Monday qualified. Dickie Pride, he managed a T5 at Mayakoba last week.
That's exactly right. And it's funny, he's actually playing with Rory McIlroy today. Rory McIlroy, who will soon be a Jupiter, Florida resident, probably, you know, other than Tiger Woods, the biggest name here at this tournament, playing with journeyman Dickie Pride at 1:30 today Eastern Time here at the Honda Classic. So you talk about a contrast. Here we have Rory McIlroy expected to maybe carry the mantle from Tiger Woods into the next decade and beyond. You know, teeing off against Dickie Pride, who is your typical PGA Tour journeyman, guy that's been up and down, who actually knows Tom Gillis from the Nationwide Tour a few years ago. Both Gillis and Pride have been up and down from the PGA Tour to the Nationwide Tour and fighting to keep their cards. And here's Dickie Pride facing off on a Saturday against Rory McIlroy. That's really the beauty of golf.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how Dickie Pride is feeling right now about playing, you know? I mean, wow. I mean, part of it is being like, okay, I'm going to be watching Rory play, right? I mean, you watch these guys because they're so good. I mean, even Dickie Pride's got to be impressed with Rory McIlroy, watching him strike the ball and the precision shots. But at the same time, is the wind coming up?
Yeah, it is coming up. You know, this course is usually very, very difficult, but it's been soft. They played lift clean in place on Thursday because there'd been some rain in the area, so the course has not been as difficult as it usually is through the years. But today, you know, it hasn't rained. It's been starting to dry out a little bit. The wind is picking up just a little bit. So I think on Saturday and Sunday, we're going to see the bear trap and the difficult holes on this golf course really kind of become a true test for these guys.
Okay, we're going to take a really quick break. I'd like to talk about the bear trap. You know, what is that? Just something the media came up with, or is there a real reason why it's called the bear trap? We'll be back after this with Damon Hack, SI, that's Sports Illustrated, senior golf writer. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
All right, before we figure out the bear trap, let's go and talk a little bit about a young man. I believe he's a rookie on the tour. He went and just wiped out the course record at the Honda Classic. Bear trap? Brian Harman didn't seem to think it was much of a trap. He shot a course record 61, 8 birdies, an eagle, and 1 bogey. Let's talk about that exceptional round that you had, Brian.
Brian Harman.
We've got Brian Harmon. He should be coming up.
I've been working really hard on my game, and just one of those crazy days when everything comes together. Got off to a really hot start, and just kept the pedal down all day, and it was awesome. Just to be able to do it on such a great golf course, such a great tournament, and obviously I was pretty down about my round yesterday, so to be able to come out and get back into the golf tournament feels pretty good.
Now, what were you thinking about shooting a 59 at any point?
Well, I walked off 16. I was like, man, if I birdie these last two holes, I'm going to shoot 59. But I looked at that pin on 17 and like, well, I don't know about jacking a 5-iron at this thing. So I had a good shot there. And then obviously I hit a great drive on 18 and had a chance. Man, I had a chance. So, this is probably one of the, from what I've heard, one of the hardest golf courses we play all year. And just to have a chance to do something special like that, it's really, really humbling. It's really cool.
Truly, we're talking with Damon Hack, Sports Illustrated golf writer. I love that phrase, Damon, when he goes, I hear this is one of the hardest courses we play.
Yeah, I guess not for him, huh?
Well, no.
I mean, he could have shot 60, Danielle. He had a 5-footer for birdie on 18, and he would have broken the course record by 4. He just pushed this putt slightly. 5'7", maybe 150 pounds, soaking wet. It hits the ball pretty well, left-handed. University of Georgia guy, young kid. And played, as if he was, playing a muni somewhere. I mean, he really, really just had a beautiful round of golf. And I'd say as a golf writer and sports fan, we were kind of pulling for that, at least that 60. Because you root for the story as a golf writer and as a sports writer. You root for the story. And a 60 or a 59 at the Bear Trap would have been even better, obviously. But a 61 is still a phenomenal round of golf around here, no matter the conditions.
He's got his degree in finance. So I hope he makes a whole bunch of money and knows what to do with it. let's talk about the Bear Trap. Why is it called the Bear Trap?
Great question. It's called a Bear Trap, A, because this is Jack Nicklaus's golf course. This is Jack Nicklaus's town, Palm Beach Gardens, West Palm. He and Barbara Nicklaus have lived here forever. This is a golf course that, in a tournament that benefits the Nicklaus charities and hospitals. So, and then you obviously have those three holes, 15, 16, and 17, a pair of par threes and a par four. It's kind of one of those names like the Green Mile that you have in Quail Hollow or Amen Corner at Augusta. It's kind of a catchy name, and then here it speaks to the difficulty of that stretch of golf holes. And traditionally on the weekend, especially when the leaderboard is bunched up and guys are trying to finish their rounds and bring a good round home, when the wind is up, those three holes can just be absolutely brutal, especially 17, the longest of the two par threes. Inevitably, you have dozens of golf balls either ending up wet to the right in the water or way left into that bunker, and you just see a lot of bogeys and others on that 17th hole par 3.
Did Jack Nicklaus give it the name?
That's a good question. I don't know if Nicklaus gave it the name or if somebody at NBC gave it the name, but there is a beautiful plaque on the beginning of the Bear Trap at 15 and it has a quote by Jack Nicklaus. And I don't know if he gave the Bear Trap its name, but he did give the quote that says, the golf tournament should be won and lost here, meaning these three holes, 15, 16, and 17, and you have a nice picture of all three holes, the beginning of the Bear Trap and all of that water, and Jack Nicklaus's quote right there on that plaque.
Do you hesitate when somebody says to you, for golf writers, it's the, how did you phrase that again? It's not who's going to, you kind of pull for the guy, but you...
Yeah. You pull for the story.
Your story.
You pull for the best story. And I'll tell you, that transcends golf for me. I cover football and other sports. I've gone to the Olympics, and we root for stories. We root for great stories. Here this week, obviously, it would be neat to see a journeyman like Tom Gillis win, who's, considered, folding shirts and standing on a lesson tee for 9 hours and being a teacher because he just couldn't, make cuts out here anymore. Or you root for Rory McIlroy to assume the number one ranking because that would be a great talking point for golf. And you root for Tiger Woods to be in the mix and be in contention because it gets people talking. Those are all stories that I like to write as a sports writer that I believe people want to read about. It's the intrigue and the tension and the drama, and that's what, to me, what makes golf such a great game. There's a lot of tension and drama. It unfolds over 4 days. So much can happen, good and bad. So inherently, this is a sport, to me, that lends itself to great stories and great storytelling.
Okay, how about Harris English? Huh? Wouldn't that be a story?
That would be a story as well. Harris English, a tall lad, by the way, who just bombs the ball out there. I mean, I'm looking at his name right here on the leaderboard, and you see Charles Howell right next to him. I talked to Charlie Howell yesterday, a guy, an Augusta native who's been trying to get back. Anthony Kim, who has been missing cuts all year, made the cut this week. Davis Love, you have the Ryder Cup captain, who shot 64 on Thursday. It's just a ton of great names, and names that you don't know and names that you do know, but everyone kind of fighting for their own specific reason, and it's our job as golf writers and chroniclers of this game and tournament to tell people, you know, what everyone's motivation is.
It's great talking to you, Damon Hack, Sports Illustrator, senior golf writer. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Danielle. Always great to join you.
Thanks. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Rim Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Rim Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Ring in the new year at the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa. Located on Ka'anapali Beach at the foot of legendary Black Rock, this sprawling resort welcomes travelers to a world of relaxation and discovery. Every guest room is newly renovated and comfortably appointed with breathtaking views of the Pacific Ocean, lush gardens, or lava rock waterways. And at sunset, catch the breathtaking plunge during the Black Rock cliff diving ceremony. To rediscover the legend of Ka'anapali, call 808-921-4646 and book your reservation today.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Excited to be able to introduce you to Brian Hewitt, former Golf Week writer, Golf Channel reporter. He is now the editor-in-chief of an internet magazine, a digital magazine that you should subscribe to. All you need is your email address, and it'll come to you every Monday. And it's a beautifully done digital magazine with all the news of the week before and interesting insights and sometimes a very funny video at the very end, the postscript, so to speak, at the very end. I love it. Brian Hewitt, editor-in-chief, Global Golf Post. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danielle. thank you. Excuse me. Thanks for the kind words about Global Golf Post. And I would also remind your listeners that if they want to subscribe, there is no fee to subscribe. It is a free publication.
Absolutely free, and you get great writers, including Mike Perkey, who taught me what the real pre-shot routine looks like. If you've ever played with Mike Perkey, you just watch him in his pre-shot. That's what a pre-shot, that's it, right there.
Well, you have played golf with Mike, Danielle?
Yes, I had the opportunity on a trip to Arizona, Troon Courses in Arizona. It was a fam trip, and I got to play, yes. I only played the short game because I knew I couldn't keep up with those guys on their drives.
Well, Mike is the rare combination, and we're very proud to have him, and he's a former president of the Golf Writers Association of America. He's a very good reporter, worked for the Charlotte Observer coming up as a young journalist. He's a very good player. He knows the game, and he's a very good writer. So he's got the whole package, and that is rare. I've known Mike forever, and he's beaten my brains in on a golf course on more than one occasion.
As editor-in-chief, you write kind of a what happened, a synopsis of all the different things that happened over the weekend for the most part. Isn't that kind of what you do, a wrap-up is on page one?
I do. We try to limit the words there, and it's a challenge. I'm allowed to write about 250 or 260 words. We call it the shorty, which is the little short columnette that I write on the first page. Part of that is because we don't want to get in the way of all the great images that we have on our cover. You don't want too many words out there, and it's a challenge. As a writer, having been used to a career where a column is 600, 700, or 800 words, and you can air it out a little bit, if you will, while you're writing. When you've only got 250 or 260 words, and you're trying to summarize what happened in the entire week, and you're trying to draw readers into the rest of the issue, and you're trying to have a little bit of humor, a little bit of fun, a little bit of insight, and have a little bit of an edge, it's a real challenge, and I love the challenge every week.
I bet. It's kind of like writing the perfect headline, you know, that captures everything and makes the reader want to go for it. You're writing. Do you think that you'll include in, what did you call that again?
We call it the shorty.
The shorty, okay.
They allowed so many words.
Okay,
yeah.
In your shorty, do you think you'll, and I like this first sentence that I read from you, the momentum for the anticipation for the publishing date of instructor Hank Haney's book on Tiger Woods continues to grow like an atomic weed.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting that you bring that up. I kind of think that this whole controversy that bloomed last week with regards to Tiger Woods and the Hank Haney book that's coming up, and the fact that they released an excerpt where it said that Tiger had once, Hank Haney was saying that Tiger had wanted to possibly leave golf and become a Navy SEAL. And what I think everybody has missed here is, when I read that, I thought, you know, that's kind of cool. Tiger right now is fighting for good publicity, and the fact that he wanted to be a Navy SEAL, I thought was made me think a little bit more of Tiger. Now, but his agent, Mark Steinberg, comes out with a press release in response to this excerpt and says he thought that it was a negative thing for Haney to say that Tiger wanted to be a Navy SEAL, and I don't get where that's negative at all. I thought that was a positive excerpt that came out, and I think right now, I guess the point I'm trying to make here in a roundabout way is Tiger's people, Danielle, the people around him are not doing him any favors at the moment.
No, they're not. And didn't Mark have to come back out and say, well, you know, I put that out before I told Tiger about it?
Well, and that too, and then Tiger walked into a press conference on Wednesday and didn't really know anything about this, that he didn't know that Steinberg had put this out, and now he found himself answering questions about something that he didn't even know existed, and it was really embarrassing, a little bit painful, awkward to watch him try to deal with some legitimate questions that were coming from the reporters.
Well, yeah, I mean, here, his dad had just died. When he was thinking about becoming a Navy SEAL,
yeah.
Supposedly, right? I mean, this is all in this book, and this is from Hank Haney's point of view. Of course, he'd want to do, I mean, I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. I wanted to fly, you know, supersonic
right.
jets when I was a kid. If
right.
I had been that close to my father, a Green Beret, I would have wanted to challenge myself as well and see, you know, kind of feel some kind of sense of closeness with Dad that's now departed. And with the look in his eye, in Tiger Woods' eye during that press conference was a couple of things. And I could understand why he was upset. By the same token, Alex Maselli, a really nice person, was asking a question that I thought it was just, hey, did you really want to do that? That's what's in the book. But if Tiger didn't know anything, what else was he going to do except, like, I don't know,
Alex was doing his job. Tiger got caught off guard through no fault of his own. Again, it was a fault of his agent. Tiger does not like to get caught off guard, and Tiger does not like to get pushed in press conferences. So the whole thing was awkward, and I think it's a little bit of a tempest in a teapot.
Yes.
Because I asked Butch Harmon a while back, and we've got a Q&A with him coming up in Global Golf Post, you know, and I said, Butch, are you going to read Hank Haney's book? And he said, well, I'll probably read some of it. I may read some excerpts. He said, but I don't think this is going to be a mean-spirited book. I don't think it's going to be a vindictive book. And I don't either. I know Haney reasonably well, and I know Jaime Diaz, who's the writer that worked with Hank on the book, very well. And I think what we're going to end up getting is a lot of insight on Tiger's work ethic, his work habits, some specifics on his workouts, practices, thoughts during rounds. And I'm looking very much forward to reading that and learning about that sort of stuff. I think we've learned quite enough about all the mistakes Tiger made in his private life off the golf course.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and I think it is a overblown. It's just anything that Tiger Woods does, everyone has to talk it to death. I don't know how he can go out there and hold a putter on a green, knowing that everybody in the world is staring at him to see how or whether or not he's going to make that putt.
Yeah, no, you could say it goes with the territory.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that in golf, in this day and age of social networks and 24-hour golf channels and ESPN and so forth and so on, there's never been anybody that's had to go through the territory that Tiger Woods has had to go through. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just corroborating your point. Yeah. I mean, he has been in uncharted territory now for about 15 years.
Yeah, very interesting watching how he handles it, and I'm not surprised he doesn't handle it well. He was protected for so long by his father and by the people around him, and then being totally exposed. Whew. Okay, you're a big LPGA supporter from what I've read.
Yes.
And we've got the LPGA first domestic event. This is exciting. The Founders Cup is happening. Is it next weekend?
I think that's right. The LPGA has had either two, I think it's three events so far, but they're sort of in the dark in the U.S. because they've been playing mostly in Asia at this point. As somebody pointed out, right now the LPGA is time zone challenged in terms of the of the mainland over here. I know you guys are sort of in between and don't have quite the challenge with the time differentials, but
we still
are coming back and there's lots to be interested in right now in the LPGA.
Absolutely. The three time zone challenged events featured a six-way playoff, a four-way playoff,
mm-hmm.
and the number one player on the LPGA in the world, of course, her name just went right out of my mind, Yanni Sen. She won, showing us that she's got her form. I think she had a couple of rounds that really frustrated her, like she wasn't able to get it all together, and bam, she came back and, you know, obviously no fluke last year. She's going to be just fine. But it was interesting when the six-way playoff, and if I'm not mistaken, that was in Australia, they took the six players and split them into two groups of three.
I don't like that. And it's interesting that you use the word interesting there. It's interesting that you bring that up. I what's more exciting than what we used to call that when I was a kid, and there were five or six or seven of us would go out at the end of the day. We'd call it a gangsome, and there'd just be a bunch of us, and we'd all be playing. What would have been so bad about having all six of those players, together in the same group? And you can also make the case, Danielle, that the players in the second threesome had an advantage in knowing exactly what they did or didn't have to do because they would already have known theoretically what the people in the group ahead of them had done. And similarly, the people in the first group might not know exactly what they needed to do to stay alive in the playoffs. So I don't know if that's where you were going, but I do not like them splitting those things up at all.
No, I didn't like it at all either. I think it's much more exciting to have all six of them playing this. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A horse race.
A horse race. Go for it, you know? And then we had the four-way, and I think they all went from one hole on that one. I guess they just figured that there were too many all bunched up together. That seemed a shame. And seeing Angela Stanford win and the U.S. for the first time in that Singapore event, that was very cool.
Nice to, I know we are Global Golf Post, but I am an American, so I'm never unhappy when an American wins. And isn't it interesting that the nine events on the men's side, the PGA Tour this year, have all been won by Americans? That's an interesting trend. We'll see if that keeps up now that most of the Europeans are over here, at least through the Masters. I like the fact that Jessica Korda, I think, is going to be a big-time player. She hits the ball a long, long way. She can actually keep up with Lexi Thompson off the tee. A lot of people don't know that. And then there you go. Lexi Thompson's name creeps into the discussion, and she's the one that everybody's hoping will present the full-time challenge for Yanni Tseng, and I think she's got the tools to do it, if not the experience at this point.
Let me ask you a question on, when we talk about the youngsters, and I just mentioned Justin Rose. He's, of course, tied for the lead over at the Honda Classic. And in 1998, when he eagled and, came in fourth at the British, and don't ever say that, Danielle, it's the Open, I understand.
It's okay. I got to interrupt. Peter Dawson, who's the head of the RNA, he said, we asked him that question, and he said, 30 years ago, everybody called it the British Open over here. He said, don't get hung up on the Open Championship versus the British Open. So you have permission from the executive director, the secretary of the RNA, to say British Open.
And I feel so much better now.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Rose was heralded as the next great, as so many young people are. This is the next, Ty Tryon is, of course, the perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's just not right that we put so much emphasis, and you can't help but become self-conscious as a young person with that many eyes, that much emphasis being put on you.
I'm sorry. I was there at Royal Birkdale in 98 when he holed that wedge shot. It may have been the loudest noise I've ever heard on a golf course anywhere. I was on another hole. I wasn't watching. I didn't actually see him hit that shot, but I was on the golf course, and I heard the noise, and it was actually louder than any Tiger roar that I've ever heard.
Wow.
Because this was a British kid doing this in England, and he was only 17 years old. And to back to your point, from there on, everybody expected him to be, particularly in England, they expected him to be the next Nick Faldo. And you may remember that Justin Rose went through a long period where he missed a bunch of cuts in a row, and it was very dark and tough for him for a long time. And it's also hard to believe that I'm going to do a little math now. 98, that's 14 years ago.
Yeah.
So he's now 31 years old, and I think has established himself pretty well. He's won the Memorial. He still hasn't. I don't think he's played on a Ryder Cup team, which you could have fooled me on that one. And obviously he's never won a major, but he's a great kid and a really solid player and tied for the lead right now.
Well, it's interesting. We're playing at a Jack Nicklaus at the Bear Trap. Justin Rose, having won the Memorial, would be interesting to see if he would pull this off on another Nicklaus course. We got the Masters coming up. What are you thinking when you think Masters? Are you excited?
Absolutely. We've been thinking and talking about the Masters at Global Golf Post for a couple of months now, writing a little bit about it here and there. Rory, I don't care who's ranked number one, and good for Luke Donald for getting to be number one. That's a pretty good list to be on. But I think the best player in the world right now is Rory McIlroy, and I don't think it's even close. I also think that once Tiger gets to Augusta National, if there's any place where his putting woes are going to go away, if there's any set of greens in the world that he knows very well and feels like he owns, I think it's at Augusta National. And then you throw in what Phil has done so far this year and the fact that he has won three times at Augusta National. And I can go on and on and on and on, because even just looking at the golf course, it's you don't even have to think about the players that much. It's just such a cool place. It's such a cool telecast, the way they broadcast. And it's also, my final point is, it's also the major that we wait the longest for. We wait from the end of the PGA Championship in August all the way to April of the following year. So the buildup, the anticipation to the Masters, is the longest for any of the majors.
Yeah, it really, it's not fair that they come so fast and then we have to wait so long.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But then there's that winter thing going on. So, yeah. on one final note, do you think they'll ever be a major played outside other than the Open, the British Open?
Well, first of all, obviously they're never going to play a U.S. Open outside the United
right,
States.
Right.
They're never going to play the Masters outside of Augusta National.
Right.
And the PGA of America, which runs the PGA Championship, by definition, the word America is in there, so they're never going to play one outside of there.
Yeah.
And so that leaves us the Open Championship or the British Open, and if they're going to call it the British Open, I don't see it being played in Asia. But you're on to something there, because I really do believe that there's an explosion going on right now. I think the next big story that hasn't been written are the Korean men that are coming along right now. We know all about the Korean women on the LPGA, but all of a sudden, it's not just KJ Choi. There's half a dozen very good Korean men playing right now, and more on the way. And they need, when I say they, I mean the Asians, they need something. A legitimate WGC championship or something to legitimize the interest in golf in that part of the world and the quality of players that they're producing.
Fabulous. We're talking with Global Golf Post, a free digital publication you get with just your email address. It comes right to your inbox every Monday morning. Editor-in-Chief Brian Hewitt, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, or condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back to the clubhouse. I'm joining us in the clubhouse right now. I'm going to come back in. Okay, this is a very strange way to introduce somebody, but I think you'll understand. Bob Friend is the son of pitcher Bob Friend. Just in case, you know that name, Bob Friend. Bob Friend, Bob Friend, dad, was a four-time All-Star 1960 World Series champion with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Okay, Bob Friend, son, is a former PGA Tour member, analyst for PGA Tour Network on Sirius XM, director of operations at Pikewood National Golf Club, and a dad. Welcome to the show, Bob Friend.
Very, very good description, Danielle. I think you, you know, in a baseball analogy, I think you touched all the bases there.
You know, it's so good to have you on the show, and you've got to come on more often because we have such a good time. I do want to jump right into something that happened, you know, at the Honda Classic. And we're all watching Tiger Woods because we're all going to, you know, when's Tiger going to come back? So we're watching Tiger, and then Sean Foley comes out yesterday and says, I take full responsibility for the fact that Tiger Woods can't putt. It's because I've changed his swing, and he used to use his left, and now it's more, I'm confused. Did you hear what he said?
Well, look, there's two schools of thought in terms of putting. There's a lot of people think that it's a right-handed stroke, but now I'm talking specifically from a right-handed player's perspective.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people think that it's a left-handed stroke. Some people think it's a right-handed stroke. I personally think that it's a right-handed stroke, and that the putter has to swing inside to inside, and the putter has to release. And the reason is the putter head is attached to the shaft, or the shaft's attached to the putter head at an angle less than 90 degrees. So therefore, let's say the putter shaft's attached at an angle of 70 degrees or 75 degrees. By definition, the putter has to swing inside to inside, and it has to, in order for it to swing on plane, just as any golf swing, the putter has to swing on plane. I am not a proponent of Dave Peltz, who prophesized about a straight back and straight through stroke. The putter has to swing inside to inside, and it has to release. But personally, I have always felt that the right hand should control the stroke. And that really came from when I grew up, and I'm still a member at Oakmont Country Club in Pittsburgh. Lou Worsham was the golf professional there when I was a kid and I started playing. And Lou was a 1947 U.S. Open champion. And Lou Worsham always told me that the best way to go and improve your putting is to get about 2.5 to 3 feet away in a relatively flat putt, put your left hand on your left thigh, and stroke putts with your right hand only. And what that does, that really promotes that putter head releasing, that toe passing the heel, so you put a good uniform over-end roll on the putter. Now, look, Sean Foley has taken an awful lot of heat for Tiger Woods' game. And what people have to understand is that Tiger Woods, aside from the fact that his world came crumbling down in November of 2009, and primarily because of that, Tiger Woods has not played any competitive golf. Bobby Jones famously said years and years ago that there is golf and then there is tournament golf. Even though he is Tiger Woods, Tiger Woods is not yet tournament tough because he hasn't played enough competitive golf over the last 2.5 years to be able to compete. And so what happens is when you get on the first tee of any golf tournament, the tournament professional feels just as many nerves as the guy playing his club championship at the local club or the city amateur championship. The difference is that the golf professional is able to recognize those feelings of nervousness, the so-called butterflies. It feels like an old friend, a comforting old friend, and they're able to know how to deal with it. But what happens with the amateurs is that amateurs go and they hit the panic button. The same thing happens with a tournament player that hasn't played competitive golf in a while, is that they get into situations mentally where they're just a little bit out of sorts. And when you're talking about the PGA Tour, when you're talking about the Champions Tour, the LPGA Tour, it is such a fine line between a guy that finishes tied for 16th and a guy that wins, or a girl that wins, that you have to have everything firing. You have to have all pistons firing at the same time in the right direction, the right timing in order to win. And you know what? Tiger's not there yet. Will he get back? Absolutely, he'll get back. But I also think that with what Sean Foley has done, I think Tiger right now is really overthinking a lot of things in his golf game. And I also think that he's overthinking a lot of things with putting. Putting is like shooting foul shots. You see the target and you react to the target. And the more that you think about what you're about to do, the more you think about the so-called the stroke or what your putter's doing, what you need to be doing. The idea is this. You want to have target awareness. You don't want to have self-awareness. The more self-awareness you have, the worse you're going to putt. And, I mean, frankly, Danielle, that's what I think Tiger Woods has got going on right now.
Totally thinking way too much. He has no feel. It's like he has no confidence. I watch him putt, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to miss. Just the way he stands up to the putt.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It doesn't look like, he doesn't look, you know, 5 years ago, it looked like he stood up over every single putt, and it looked like he expected to make everything that he stood upon. And now it doesn't look like that. It looks very unsure. And again, I think it's a guy being overtaught. Now, I will say this in Sean Foley's defense. Tiger Woods had to do something to change his golf swing to take the stress off of the left knee. You know, we know that he's had four surgeries. People have said that he maybe had as many as six. Cool. The left knee for a right-handed player takes an enormous amount of stress and strain in the transition of the golf swing, because your knee, not only is your knee, are you rotating around your left leg, but your left leg is also being moved laterally towards the target. So it's being moved laterally towards the target, and it's also rotating. So it's an awful lot of stress and torque on the left knee. What Tiger did all his career was to bring that club down, was to snap that left leg back, which really just exacerbated the problem that he's had with the left knee. So I think that he had to make a swing change in order for him to continue his career. And I think that Tiger Woods is going to win. I think he's going to win this year. Wouldn't blow me away. I know he's a favorite to win the Masters right now, but it wouldn't surprise me if he did win the Masters. But he just, you know, he's just not there. I mean, he just has to get more tournament rounds under his belt to get his tournament toughness back, and he has to stop overthinking this putting stuff.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you just wrapped it up. I don't know what else to say. Except maybe to ask you, should he have stopped with the swing changes at some point earlier?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that you sit there and you get into these things with the PGA Tour, and as a player, you're always trying to get better. The adage out there is that if you're not improving, you're going to get passed. And I've been through it myself, trying to make swing changes. And Tiger really, you know, he's reinvented his golf swing several times in his career. The one that I remember was when it was 1998, my third year in the PGA Tour, and he had a very, very marginal year. But he was right in the middle of making a swing change with Butch Harmon, and he came back. And obviously we know what happened in 99, 2000, 2001, and what happened, those years when he made the swing change with Butch. So
yeah.
he's always been able to reinvent himself. But, you know, there comes a time when you have to stop playing swing and start playing golf. And I think that as soon as Tiger gets to that point where he's playing golf again, I don't think he's going to be as dominant as he was, as we've known him to be, because he's getting a little bit older. And I also think that the intimidation factor is gone. I think that when you take a look at in his prime back in the early part of this past decade, Tiger Woods would get on the tee and he'd be two or three shots out going into Sunday. And you'd have guys, you'd have seasoned veterans such as, you know, Davis Love, Ernie Els. These guys would fold. Just knowing that Tiger Woods is right there breathing on his neck, he was very Nicklaus-esque in that regard, very Ben Hogan-esque in that regard. And if he was anywhere close to the lead, the great players in the game would see that name in the leaderboard, and they would just fold like accordion.
Well, all right. I got to ask you, because, you know these guys at the top of the leaderboard, I'm sure, at the Honda Classic, that so many of us, Tom Gillis and Dickie Pride, are you surprised?
Well, you know what? I'm not surprised, because it's really, you know, you've played two rounds. You're going into moving day to day. Tom Gillis is a good, solid player. He's played all over the world. I mean, I've known Tom Gillis really probably for close to 20 years. And, you know, Tom is one of those guys that, he's one of those guys you could really say that, he just kind of just kept on pining along. You know, he would play over in Asia. He would play in Europe. He would play in South Africa. He basically played anywhere he could to continue to make a living. And, you know, last year, he had a wonderful year last year. But he's a good golf player. He's a little older. So he's one of those guys that you might not necessarily see, but he's one of those guys that the career professionals have always, we've always been around.
Yeah.
And with Dickie Pride won Memphis back in 1994. And Dickie Pride is one of those guys that, same thing. He's always just kind of, he's played a smattering of PGA Tour events each and every year, because he's got lifetime status. on the PGA Tour, 150 cuts, gets you lifetime status. Again, he's a past champion, and he's also played nationwide tour. He's done anything that he could to keep himself competitive, keep himself in the game. It's been a long time since Dickie Pride has won. I'd be very surprised if either Tom or Dickie Pride were to win this week. The guy that impresses me the most is Rory McIlroy. When you take a look at Rory McIlroy, there's a guy right there that is going to have a golf swing that's going to last forever, such as Sam Snead. You take a look at Rory McIlroy's, we're talking about Tiger Woods earlier, Danielle, and you take a look at the difference between Rory McIlroy's swing and Tiger Woods' swing.
At the beginning,
Tiger Woods generates a tremendous amount of power, but it's a very, very quick change of direction. Again, that's part of the problem that damaged his knee. You take a look at Rory McIlroy. I mean, this is a very, very smooth transition into the left side, into power, very Sam Snead-esque. When you take a look at him at impact, very much like Sam Snead, both of his heels are on the ground at impact. Not so with Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods first came out on tour, he was actually on his toes at impact.
Wow.
And you take a look at Rory McIlroy, both of his heels are on the ground at impact. Very smooth transition and a tremendous amount of power. I think Rory McIlroy is going to be the guy to beat for the next 20 years, frankly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he is an amazing kid, and what he has done physically, does he need to stop working out? Like Tiger got obsessed with that. Does Rory need to worry a little bit about becoming too obsessive in the weight room?
Well, no, I think that what happened, there's two things that lifting does for you. Number one, it does get you strength, it does get you flexibility, which is going to prolong your golf swing. But you know, the other thing it does, it gives you confidence. I'm 48, and I'm taking a look at the possibility of maybe eyeballing the Champions Tour. And so the last 2 years, what I have been doing is I've actually hit the gym again, and I've taken off about 22 pounds. I've taken off, 2 or 3 inches on my waistline. I am stronger now than I was 10 or 11 years ago. And what that does for me is the same thing it's going to do for a Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods. That when you stand up on the first tee and you look around at the other guys, you are a physical specimen. You know that physically there's nobody out there that can touch you. And that gives you a mental edge upon everybody else that is playing in the field. It's really what my golf coach at LSU used to refer to as the 6 P's. Proper preparation prevents piss poor performance. you gotta love the 6 P's. And what it does, it gets you a state of mind that you have taken care of business, you have done everything humanly possible to prepare to play, and you're ready to go. And that's what the weight room does. And so I think it's one of those things where you just have to make sure that you're consistent with what you're working out with. You find a good physical therapist, a good trainer that knows golf, and you're not going to sit there and work the wrong muscle groups for golf. But it definitely is an advantage to be physically fit, and Tiger Woods proved that. I mean, Tiger Woods is the main reason that there are now 2 fitness trailers on the PGA Tour instead of 1.
Oh, you're amazing. Bob Friend, former PGA Tour member, analyst for PGA Tour Network on Sirius XM. I'm almost afraid to ask. You were at a championship game this morning.
We lost.
Oh!
Yeah, my 12-year-old son, Andrew, plays rec league basketball here in the Pittsburgh area. And, boy, they had a nice team, had a really fun year, but they came up a little bit short. And, as I've told, I have 3 kids. Charlie, my oldest, is 16. My daughter, Libby, is 14. My youngest, Andrew, is 12. And I've told them from time to time is that if you can't deal with disappointment, then don't bother playing sports.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Danielle, thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you, and I'll come on anytime. You're a real pro.
Thank you, and I look forward to the next time.
Thanks, Danielle.
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinning do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. We are. Let's take care of this business really quick. KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo, KTOH, FM1, Princeville. And that's where we're going right away. We're going to Princeville. The Prince course is open. Tom Freestone is the assistant professional at the Prince course. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely, and I had the best time. I had a playing lesson with Tom Freestone, okay? He took me out to play golf. If you want to really learn how to play a round of golf, how to play the game of golf, you got to go take a playing lesson. I mean, am I wrong or what?
No, I think I think that's a great suggestion, Danielle, especially out here on the Prince course. It's always nice to have a little bit of a professional eye helping you around this course. One of the things that I find with on the teaching aspect of the playing lesson is that it helps me keep focused and just real direct on what one key for the entire 9 or 18 holes that we play that's really affecting your game. So it really helps me as a golf professional help you focus on that one key thing that's going to really help your game out.
And by the same token, you know, when you're playing in a playing lesson, you're playing a round of golf at 9 holes, 18, and you are don't have to become too stressed over doing the same shot over and over again. So what I'm trying to say is, as I hit my shot, I make a mistake. I hit the shot, maybe I get it right this time. But then we say, oh, let's just go on. And we walk along and I kind of get rid of all the tension from that mistake or that shot. And then we try again. That is very relaxing.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point of the game, is to actually have fun and relax out there on the course.
Yeah.
One of the big keys to golf is the mental game. And one of the things that I like to focus on with the playing lesson is, you know, if you hit a bad shot, don't think about it. Just let it go and move on to the next one. Actually, think about a good shot that you hit before and then get on with the next shot and just focus on hitting the next shot. I think that's one of the biggest keys to playing good golf. It's not stressing over one in particular shot.
Are you able to do that when you're like on the Asian Tour Q School and you're going through Q School? Are you able to do that really and put it into practice?
You know, everybody has their challenges. But yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's been times, I think, in everybody's golf game where you perform excellent in some situations, and in other times it's just not your day. But the more and more practice you get at it, obviously the better you get. So just trying to individualize each shot is one of the biggest parts of my pre-shot routine. And that's one of my focuses as a teacher, is to get people to incorporate their fundamentals and mental approach into their pre-shot routine, so that every time they walk through a golf shot, they're improving their golf game because they're focusing on those fundamentals and making sure that they're right every time they step up to the ball. And if you watch the players on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour, all of those golfers have very strict routines. I remember when they were talking about Tiger's routine for putting was exactly 17 seconds from the moment he stepped up onto the green. and started his pre-shot routine, and it was like clockwork every time, and he's not the only one. I'm sure about 90% of the players on the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour have adopted routines that you could set a stopwatch to.
It's interesting. I wrote a column. It's called My Playing Lesson, and you can find it at roundhawaii.com. You'll see what happened. What Tom Freestone did for me is I'm very comfortable on the greens. I love putting. I love the short game, although I was a little nervous because I was in front of this really great professional player. But I would not drive the ball because I am not comfortable driving the ball, because I figure I can't get it off the ground, period, so why should I even, you know, put somebody through the, and myself, through the experience of watching me fail over and over again, and it's boring, you know, I mean, let's go on, you can hit it, he can hit it 300 yards, you know, Tom's like bombing it out there, and I'm just, okay, let's go to the next one, let's go play the short game, so he says, try it, you know, and so we unwrap this brand new driver, you know, I'm like, I'm not worthy of this, so, and we unwrap it, and, you know, and he's watching, you know, and it, whatever, you know, happens, what usually happens is I, you know, kill worms, mongoose, gophers, whatever you have, whatever you talk about in your particular part of the world. And so I'm just like, there, see, that's what happens. And so he's like, okay, let's just go on. So finally, not finally, but at one point he goes, I got it. And I went, really? And you've got to read it. I'm not going to give you the close. I'm not going to tell you how it ends, okay? But just let's say I'm happy. I'm a happy person, and I want to thank you, because I will have that image in my mind from now on. That is my happy place, Tom Freestone.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. That's what I will visualize. Let's talk about the Prince course. It is open, and what are the greens like? What is it, Pass Palom? Is it, I don't know, Seashore, Sea Dwarf? What is it?
It's Sea Dwarf. Sea Dwarf Pass Palom, which is the latest and greatest hybrid of the Pass Palom. It is just fantastic grass for our climate. During the winter months, we do get below Bermuda's perfect growing temperature. So in the past, the greens weren't always up to snuff during the winter time. We had to cut them a little bit longer than we were hoping. Now we can treat those greens as perfect as we want. We can cut them as smooth and as fast as we would like. We try and keep them roughly at about a 10.5 to make it playable for all guests and a great experience for even the best golfer. The bunkers out on the course, we completely renovated. So now instead of the old red dirt, sand, clay that we used to have in our bunkers that would stain anybody's white shoes. We've got perfect silica sand in the bunkers, which is a similar sand to what you see on the PGA Tour and most PGA Tour stops. The sand's nice, white, fluffy sand. You can hit all sorts of variety of shots out of it when you're in a greenside bunker, and it's fairly easy to get out of a fairway bunker as well. The nice benefit is when we have rains out here, the bunker sand stays exactly where it's supposed to, and the bunker conditions are perfect condition all year round.
It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it is so manicured. It's just, you know, we talk about having to keep courses sustainable. At the same time, we are in a place, in a locale, where people come for particular types of golf courses. And you have created, on Kauai, all of the properties. But now with the Prince reopening, we'll focus on the Prince. The most beautiful conditions. I mean, I loved putting. The undulation of the green, the way, just how tight those greens have grown in. Absolutely spectacular. Did I read right that you have a 13-acre practice facility?
Yeah, that is correct. We completely renovated the practice facility. We've added a new putting green, a new chipping green, a new practice bunker on the top level, and then the practice area looks out over the North Shore of Kauai, one of the most beautiful practice facilities I've ever seen. And we've added a few nice new target greens and target bunkers and a sea dwarf, sea short pass, phallum fairway that goes all through the driving range. So it wow. gives it a nice contrast with the helo grass that's around the edges of the driving range. So it is absolutely beautiful. It's a spectacular setting, and the conditions, the grass is nice and nice and firm, and you get real nice divots out of the off of the practice tee. So just beautiful conditions all the way around.
Well, I know you get nice divots. I'm still working on getting those nice divots. Tom Freestone, wonderful having you on the show. The Prince course is open, and go take a lesson with Tom Freestone. I'm coming back, okay? You're stuck with me, Tom.
All right. I promised you I would tell you this quick story, though, if we have time.
Yes, we do.
Yesterday we had, it was our second day of being open, and I had a lesson scheduled at about 11 o'clock yesterday morning. My student Linda, after she's been an 80-85 shooter for a long time, but developed the shanks.
Oh.
So on the first 5 minutes of the lesson, I think she hit about 20 balls right and about 2 feet off the ground.
Okay.
And was really struggling. We got her hitting the ball perfectly, nice up in the air. She was so happy. She went and played right after we finished the lesson, and on hole number three, she knocked it in the hole.
A hole in one?
After her husband knocked it to 12 inches, a foot. And she knocked it inside her.
She beat him. Yeah.
So I'm one for one right now on the lesson.
See, you got to take a lesson with Tom.
I can't promise those results for everyone, but I'll give it a shot.
All right. Tom Freestone, the Prince course is open. Thanks for being on with me. We'll talk again, okay?
Thank you very much, Danielle. Have a wonderful day, and thanks again for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Aloha. Aloha.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You know a child that is interested in golf, but you don't know where to start? The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and the Aloha Section PGA are proud to present Hawaii Junior Golf Day on March 10th at courses statewide. Join this free, fun-filled day for children to learn the basics of golf. This is your chance to learn how simple it is to get a child started. Make it a family day. Hawaii Junior Golf Day, March 10th. Visit hsjga.org to learn more.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
We're going all the way to Scotland to learn about Michelle Wee. That's right. We're going to talk with the author of several books, including The Real Monty, Colin Montgomery's biography. She has... I served with the Daily Telegraph golf correspondent. That's, I think, as the first woman to be that. She's won numerous awards. She's the mother of four children. She managed to do all of this, stay in the business, raise her children, and be a fantastic golfer. She had a 3 handicap at the age of 16, played for the English and the British girls teams in the 1960s, member of the Marley Spearman Senior England side, which defeated France at Royal St. George's in 1966. Louine Mayer, welcome to the show. You're not there? Ooh, I do not know. We are having some technical difficulties. That would be a shame, because she is an amazing woman and was going to talk to us about an interesting article that she wrote in Global Golf Post. We seem to be featuring Global Golf Post this morning, but I guess we don't have them on right now, and we have everything. Yes, okay. Well, we're going to work on that. But this article, I'm just going to go from it, and if you'll just... Greg, could you come help me with something? I can't move away from the microphone, and I can't reach it. It's one of those moments on the radio, you know, when this is live. This is real. You know, I can't edit this part out. Yeah, I just need my phone. It's ringing. I might get an explanation about why we don't have it. She's no there. I got that. Okay, well, it's a pity. So I'm just going to go straight to the article, because it's really quite good. And, you know, Michelle had a meltdown. Oh, yeah, Michelle had a meltdown. She didn't play well at the last tournament that she was in. And during one of her meltdown moments, she swore quite loudly. I think she also threw her club, which isn't, you know, I mean, but it was the swearing. And the kids, they were around, and the parents, they were around, and they were shocked. Very shocked. She apologized. She said that was totally inexcusable behavior. And not something, no, you know. Kind of like, and I'm very happy to say that Keegan Bradley apologized for spitting, which in my column, you'll read about it. I just find that the most disgusting habit. I don't know where the kids are picking it up, frankly, where our young men are learning this habit. It's unhealthy for people around them. It spreads diseases. It's disrespectful. I mean, it looks awful. And I have a vision in my mind of seeing a professional golfer, a very professional, one of the top 10 golfers. In fact, he was at one of those events where they honor the top majors of, you know, the winners of the year. Yeah, the Grand Slam. And as I was following him, I was so excited to be there, you know, and I was 4 feet away from him, and we're walking down the path, and I'm not too close. I'm just exactly where I'm supposed to be, and he turns and spits, and it's just something I will never, ever be able to not see when I see that particular person, who I'm sure is a very nice guy. All right, enough of that. So... the article that she wrote, the piece that she wrote, is "Wee looks forward to life as a full-time golfer." She does? That was my first reaction. She does? She's looking forward to life as a full-time golfer? Really? We had to go to Scotland to figure this out? Well, Louine was there in Singapore, and she writes, "Make no mistake, however down in the mouth Michelle Wee may have looked during her opening 79 and 81 in last week's HSBC Women's Champions, and how profane and poorly behaved she was during her final round, 75, the player loves her golf. She cannot wait till March, the month she graduates from Stanford and becomes full-timer on the LPGA Tour. As far as she and professional golfer for long enough, she's been in the game for, she has just... it's been 4.5 years, to be precise. This is how she quotes Michelle. "It's been tough, and the graduation ceremony will be coming up. At the moment, I work out first thing in the morning. I go to class, then I practice. It's helped that I'm good at time management and that I'm a speed reader, but I have to cram everything in, and I get tired. Once I finish with my exams, I'll be able to get that extra rest I need, and I can practice for longer," all of which... now we continue with Louine writing, "all of which explains why she's not anticipating any kind of void when her Stanford days are over. Quoting again, "I've done everything I've wanted. I've had this growth time. My friends are all going into jobs, and though golf doesn't feel like a job now, I think it will once I've graduated. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm embarking on a profession. We doesn't feel a shred of envy for those among the more recent LPGA recruits who've been fast-tracked onto the tour and are playing full-time at 18. Some will have come straight from high school, others from home schooling. I know, she says, that what suits one child will not necessarily suit another, but I'm a huge advocate for going to school. Everyone should experience it. Personally, I loved my school days. You get to experience things that you wouldn't otherwise experience. Also, being an only child, I wouldn't have had any social experiences. Unfortunately, the entire article isn't available to me. But she talks about how she got to speak Korean at home, and she couldn't speak English everywhere she went. She was shy. And she says, of course, there were things that I didn't like. For a while, I was bullied in school, she says, because I was bigger than the others. But you learn how to cope with that. And it's good that you learn. I mean, I remember being bullied in school. I guess you do learn to cope with things like that. And it is good that you learn to cope with them. Sometimes it takes longer to learn. Some people have a chip on their shoulder for a long time. Maybe Michelle doesn't anymore. Lewin continues, as the daughter of academic parents, she was going to carry on to the university. She was thinking Stanford, quote, from her early teens, with her father, BJ, predicting that she would stay the course rather than put in the token 2 years. And at university, as at school, we reveled in the company of her peers. She really enjoyed being there in the school setting. And that it's really great. So she talks about her final project, one on gender stereotyping. And this is a very interesting observation that I think most of us know, but it's good to see. She says in her final project on gender stereotyping, the role played by children's toys is the one she examined. Girls get dolls. They play at being nurses. Boys have action toys and encouraged to explore. Without your knowing it, the toys you get make you think a certain way. Wii was a great one for Barbie dolls before moving into the rather less girly world via her golf clubs. She was no more than 14 when she played in the men's Sony Open and was applauded into the clubhouse when she only missed making the halfway cut by one. Gender-neutral toys may, as Wii says, be a more in vogue today, but men's and women's professional golf remain two very separate entities. Not too long after that Sony Open, male and female professionals alike started to feel uncomfortable with Wii's sorties into the men's arena. Though both sexes claimed they had her best interests at heart, something which became more plausible as Wii missed a string of cuts, there was always more to it than that. LPGA players, for example, didn't appreciate the fact that their events scarcely got a mention in a week when Wii was on the PGA Tour. Wii has never said she will not play in another men's event. For now, though, she will concentrate on the LPGA, where she has 2 wins to her name. As she mentioned in Singapore, she has her heart set on becoming the number one ahead of Yanni Sen. Everyone, she said, wistfully, wants to be the number one, but unfortunately, there can be only one of them. Her putting gave her problems in Singapore. With her current putter, she keeps changing implements, doing nothing to make her look comfortable. The rest of her game, though, is in good shape, as indeed is the player herself, something she puts down to her gluten-free diet. This is something she started. She embarked on it of her own accord, partly because of digestive systems. It's been acting or playing up for years. And partly because of Novak Djokovic. He's that great tennis player. He's on a gluten-free diet. And as Wii says at the end of the article, he went straight to number one with a chuckle, she added. So we'll see. You know, gluten-free and... I'm just very encouraged to hear that she actually wants to be number one in the world. We'll be back after this.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Do you know a child that is interested in golf but you don't know where to start? The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association and the Aloha Section PGA are proud to present Hawaii Junior Golf Day on March 10th at courses statewide. Join this free, fun-filled day for children to learn the basics of golf. This is your chance to learn how simple it is to get a child started. Make it a family day. Hawaii Junior Golf Day, March 10th. Visit hsjga.org to learn more.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Couple of things for you today. First of all, at the Kaneohe Clipper, TaylorMade is having a demo day. Starts at 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and Jerry King will be there. So you know you're going to get, you know, fitted, all right? There's also the biggest demo day on the Kohala Coast that's coming up. It's going to be at the Mauna Kea Resort. TaylorMade, Callaway, Titleist, Ping, Nike, Cleveland. Oh, gee, everybody's going to be there. So you'll want to get there. It's going to be at the Hapuna Golf Course. It's the Mauna Kea Resort. And Hapuna is going to be actually hosting it. On Saturday, March 24th, starts at 10 o'clock, goes until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you'd like to play a round of golf at Poipu, there is an 11:10 and a 12:20. Volcano has an 11 o'clock. Ko'olina has a 10:56. Makena has a 9:30. Makalei has an 11:56. And the Royal Hawaiian Country Club, they have a 9:40 and an 11:30. And I'd like to say thank you to all the groups going out today. Hawkeye CPAs, Kalepa Hui, Demerol Group, Tachibana, Root Group, and Ikeda. And may you all hit the sweet spot every time. I know it's raining, but it's going to be a little rain. It's going to be a little sun. We're going to have a little bit of everything today. It's just going to be overcast. So put on the sunscreen. You always got to be protected because the sun comes through. It doesn't matter whether there's clouds in the sky. Just be prepared for a fabulous day of golf today. I wanted to clear up because I'm hosting a barbecue for like 15 people. Six kids are expected to go to the beach. All right, we're going to have a great time. I want to thank our sponsors for making the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, sheet metal, yeah, when you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, commercial kitchens, custom design, stainless steel counters, they do it all. Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, your business, for your concert, your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection in Hawaii and in California. And by Dr. Melanie Tantazera, True Vision Center and Medical Beauty Treatments. Join us at the Health and Wellness Expo. It's at the Honolulu Club on March 13th from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock in the evening, and you can register for a prize worth $1,000 at the booth Dr. Melanie Tantazzera. I didn't need glasses, but I seem to need them now. Yes. Thank you from your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.